Okay. Shall I start?
Yeah.
Wait, what do I say?
Hello, I'm Frances. Oh, sorry. No, you
is
go.
That
no, you go.
No, I go, hi, I'm Frances. So you go, I'm Alice.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay. Hi, I'm Frances.
And I'm Alice.
And welcome to this week's episode of Two Friends in a Pod, a place for friends to catch up on all things movies, music, TV, and pop culture.
This week, we're going to be talking about a few things that we've been watching. I think the first thing we wanted to discuss was actually Sling Sunset, so the reunion episode. So I think the last time we talked about it, we recapped the whole season, but we was pending the reunion, which we watched on the weekend together. Yay. What were your thoughts on it? Because I think the format of it, let's just tell me your thoughts.
Okay. Number one disappointment, I guess, and I think everyone shared this, is that Christine didn't show up, and she was clearly the villain. Everyone had a problem with her. I guess in a lot of recent reality shows, they framed the reunion episode as a chance for everyone to air their grievances and sort of hash it out in real time, I guess. Yeah, hashing it out in real time. So we obviously would want Christine there because everyone has a problem with her, but she did not show up. It was hard to talk about her. She couldn't say her side of the story. She couldn't defend herself. And then it felt weird. And I think the other cast member said as well, it feels weird to just pile on her when she's not here to like speak out and defend herself. Yeah.
I think there's that risk that it could make them look really bad as well, which they obviously don't want to do. Because there's obviously in this whole show and in the whole season five, there's clearly Christine the villain and everyone else was like angels or, you know, the good people, quote unquote. Mm. So I guess like there's no way that they could talk about her in depth with their true like intent and feelings and stuff about what she did without making them look like they're just being petty or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think I share your disappointment because it was such a Christine show for the whole of, I mean, it's been going on for a few seasons now, like not just this season. It's been the Christine show for a while. So to not have her there just feels like there's like a core element of the show that's really missing.
She's like the main character, to be honest.
She really is. She's got that main character energy. She has charisma. Love her or hate her, like she's so watchable.
And even like, so the rumor is, or what I saw in the media was that she couldn't come because she had COVID, which is, you know, fair enough. But then you had Amanza, who was also sick, like dressed to the nines, full face of makeup, just in incredible hair. And she just came on for a couple of seconds through FaceTime. So she even made that effort. So it was sort of like, Christine, why aren't you here?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, if you were Christine, would you want to come onto this show?
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, I think it's that as well. Like, even though, yes, we say, like, yes, it's a Christine show and we want her to be there to be able to speak her mind because we're all interested in what she would have to say. I think not going was the smart thing to do potentially for her own business, if we want to call it that, and to protect her own character. So I'm not surprised. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. One good thing they did do in the reunion episode was just like making everyone watch clips of the show. So I think it was just perfectly embarrassing for everyone. It was humiliating. Just making them watch their arguments again. And particularly Chelsea had to see herself sort of acting out in a really weird way. And she was sort of flip-flopping between like, I don't judge people. I don't make judgments. And then she'd have to watch a clip of her self making a judgment and like treating someone without getting the right information.
I think Chelsea is an interesting character because you can tell she wants to be quite neutral, but it's hard to be neutral when you're attacking people, you know, when you're clearly blatantly being like, well, someone told me this and I don't think it's true, but I'm telling you that it probably is because they told me. It's like, it's such a strange stance to take because you can tell she doesn't want to be painted as a villain like Christine. Potentially she's probably going to take that villain role anyway, but not in the same way, because I think we all see Christine as being like, you know, evil. She is the epitome of a villain. Like, she doesn't care how she comes across, whereas clearly Chelsea does.
She's still struggling that line.
Yeah, she's trying to
be a bad person. Yeah.
She really is trying to. I don't know how successful she is at the moment because she is trying, like, it seems contradictory, her statements. Yeah. However, it does seem like she's a nice girl. So, you know, good luck to her.
Good luck. Wishing her the best. She definitely needs our luck. She's struggling with her riches. A beautiful family, I'm sure.
Life's really hard.
So, you know, you might be thinking, oh, Christine's not there. There's not going to be anything to watch. There's going to be no drama. Well, you'd be wrong, because there was one man, a man named Jason.
Oh my God.
Jason, who, you know, usually is nothing. We complained about him and his bald head last episode. He brought it this time. He was the star of this reunion show.
He really stole the show for me. I think it was because it was so surprising that we see like the twins, so Jason and Brett, as being quite like stoic. They're like the bosses, basically. They're the people who try to rein the girls in. They're like the core of the Oppenheim group. So every time there's like, you know, arguments happening, they're the ones being like, just like calm down. We got to work, you know, remember what we're here for.
We all have a job here. We're here to sell houses. We're not here to start drama. I want no drama in the office, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's the role they play in Selling Sunset. And in this particular episode, though, they do bring up the whole, like, Chriselle and Jason relationship that was, like, one of the plot points in season 5. And my Lord, the wounds must be fresh.
This man was so sad and so vulnerable and so heartfelt. He, you know, I mean, part of it is like it's a reality show. So you're like, is this true? Did they really love each other? Was it for show? But honestly, like, either he's a great actor or like it was real. Like, I, you know, you truly felt watching this reunion episode that he loved Chriselle and saw like a future together. And he was absolutely heartbroken. Like, he was tearing up. He couldn't talk. He was choking up. I was just like, oh, maybe. Because, you know, we said there was no chemistry. I was like, oh, maybe they really did like each other.
Yeah, I think it really made me believe that love story more than when I watched the show. Because, yeah, you're right. Either he's a really good actor or it was real. But I believe it could be the latter rather than the former. Yeah. I think the way that it came across, it just came across as so genuine. And I think part of it was that they had to rewatch some of those scenes from the episode where they were talking about, I guess, serious things, like, you know, like the him not wanting a family, him not wanting kids, things like that, which are like really real, like, adult issues, I guess, in the relationship. So he was like tearing up about that because he was like, oh, he must have felt like it was just so sad to like not be with Chriselle because of this one thing, whereas like if not for that, then they would still be together and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So you did like feel bad for him.
Yeah, and they had to watch clips of them being happy at the beginning and everyone being like, oh my God, you guys are forever. She's the game changer. Like, you guys are perfect together. And then in the end, Jason is like saying, I'm heartbroken. Like, you know, she was truly the one for me. And I know that I feel like I'll never be happy again. And seeing her happy in the future will break my heart. He's saying all these tragic things. And then Tan France, who's like emceeing this reunion episode, announces that Chriselle is dating someone, G Flip, and then shows clips of them being happy together. Chriselle saying, I'm really happy together. And he like turns to Jason and goes, so how does it feel seeing Chriselle so happy? And then Jason is just like smiling, but it doesn't reach his eyes. Like, I'm so happy for her.
Also, that whole relationship with G Flip and Chriselle came as a surprise to every single cast member. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jason also didn't know, because
Maya's
face was absolutely priceless. Just like, what the hell? Like, she was actually like visibly shocked. Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where you're like, I don't think that's acting. I think she's actually like, she was surprised.
Absolutely bewildered. She did not know what was going on. She was like looking at every camera angle, just like, I'm trying to figure this out.
Like, is this a joke?
Yeah. Am I being pranked? Is this punked?
Yeah. And I think because it was such a contrast too, because they were like talking about Jason and being like, oh, it's so sad. And like even Chriselle was looking quite visibly upset by Jason being upset and like having to bring up this whole thing again. And then suddenly it's just like, oh, about your new relationship with this like musician from Australia or something. And it's like the most, like, no offense, but it looks like a very amateur like video clip as well. Like, it wasn't even like
them passionately making out.
Yeah. And like, I mean, they looked cute together, but still it's kind of like, well, it's a bit harsh to rub that into Jason's face when he just literally cried on TV.
The other thing that made it real was that, you know, they asked Brett, how does it feel seeing your brother like this? And then Brett started choking up. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, well, I guess this is actually real. And I felt that's really bad.
I think it was entertaining. I would say probably not my favorite way. I just don't like how they tend to do these like these reunion shows now for reality TV shows. Like, it's not my favorite format. Like, I'm not here for a talk show, to be honest. I'm here to watch people just act it out, right? I'm here for a story. It just feels like a bit of a cop out to kind of do a reunion show in a way, because they don't, it's like almost low effort, I think.
I think it sort of works for some shows. So I think like the dating ones where you're going back and being like, are they still married or are they still dating?
Oh, right.
And,
yeah.
That kind of makes sense. But yeah, I agree for like Selling Sunset. It's like, why? Yeah. What's the point of this? Why not just have the show or have this, you know, in season, just talk about this stuff and whatever.
And it's like, I think we hypothesized last time it was because Christine wasn't going to come. And I guess it was kind of confirmed. Yeah. Because otherwise, why wouldn't you just create the conclusion in another episode? Like,
and I think she's officially out of the Oppenheim group now.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, she's probably going to be doing a lot better by her own, because she has her own like license and stuff like that now. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
She has a millionaire husband. She'll be fine. No worries at all for Christine.
Worries at all. So, yeah, I guess that's the end of Selling Sunset for another season. Until the next one.
Yay. Can't wait.
Can't freaking wait. Oh, wait. So they did tease that there was an OC version of it.
Oh, it looks so trashy.
Okay, honestly, I am excited for, half excited, half not excited, because I think it really takes away from the core of Selling Sunset, which is like selling houses and stuff. Like, this one looks purely drama focused, which I'm a little bit hesitant, because yes, it could be really fun, but also it could just be really trashy, like, but not in the way that maybe I would enjoy. But I'm happy to give it a go. It's no problem at all.
She's so generous.
they looked like there were no houses being sold. They looked less competent. Yeah,
just looks like professional hot people just dating each other, fighting with each other, accusing. Yeah, it just seemed like a lot more. And there was a mix of guys and girls.
Yeah. So you could tell like the relationships form within that group. Whereas I think maybe what works for me when Selling Sunset is that the drama is within like relationships, like in friendships and things like that, where I'm like, that to me seems like more plausible. Yeah, maybe
I'm drama.
Yeah, like that to me seems like something that would actually happen rather than like not that that's not manufactured as well, but anyway, we'll see. I'll give it a go. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, definitely. You'll give at least the first episode.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
What do we watch next, Alice?
Well, the other thing we did watch, and in cinemas.
Oh, The Eater.
Yeah, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So, there was a lot of hype surrounding this particular movie. I didn't have much expectation going into it, except that I'd heard it was really good. I didn't really know what the story was. I'd only seen like that visual of the poster with Michelle Yao like doing a kick. So I was like assuming potentially it's like kung fu or some sort of fighting, but like funny maybe.
Mm.
Anyway, I was very pleasantly surprised by the direction that it kind of took me. And I think I was glad that I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think I'd only watched the trailer and then I heard from some people how good it was, but to also not read too much about it. So I kind of deliberately, went in without knowing much. And I share the same sentiment with you. Like, it just kind of took you on a ride. And because like through the twists and turns, it was so unexpected and just went in directions that you didn't even expect. So I really liked it. I was so impressed by it. Like I want to go watch it again. It was so good.
I think a second viewing would be really good to kind of understand. Because like now that we know the storyline, I think for me, because I was so focused on like what was happening and like, not to spoil, but I guess it deals with the multiverse and things like that concept. I think that can take some time to like think, because it's such a different, like there's just so many things that are kind of happening at once that I couldn't like pause to think about what the movie was actually showing in ways. So I actually think a second viewing would be really good.
Yeah, because it is the multiverse. There's just so many different worlds that you're seeing. And I think you just don't have the chance to absorb all of them, because they really show so many. Like,
so many.
And this movie is just so detailed that you're kind of like, it's kind of mind-boggling how much effort they put into a split-second shot that maybe you don't see again. So just being able to concentrate on all that and like take it all in, I think would be really useful.
Yeah.
To make you appreciate it more.
Yeah. I really loved how creative it was. The shots were so good. Acting was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It was visually spectacular as well. And so funny. It was like, I think I was surprised.
Not out loud.
Really more about that. Like, it was just so funny. I was genuinely having such a good time. It was so ridiculous in parts. And we're kind of like, oh, I guess we're going there.
It's so tightly plotted as well. So, you know, it's a random throwaway joke that you think, just something to laugh at will become very meaningful, like, you know, towards the end of the movie. And I just like thematically as well, I think there's another level where it is about the experiences of like Asian Americans, like migrant families, and like the generational issues that can occur between, you know, parent and child. So on that level as well, I think it was incredibly captivating and moving. And like the girl next to you was sobbing. Did you hear
her? I didn't hear her. I think I was so focused on my own viewing that I didn't hear her. But then I heard afterwards when she kind of like said out loud that she had been sobbing, and I was kind of like, oh wow. And I think that's the part where I was probably more surprised that I didn't take that part in, because I was so focused on other things. And I think that sort of story always gets me, to be honest. Like, I was already like, you know, before we were watching the movie, I was already messaging you being like, I've got tissues, like I need to bring the tissues and all that sort of stuff, because I like kind of know for myself that those stories do affect me in a way. So I think that's where like a second viewing maybe is where you could appreciate that part of that plot line more. But yes, I totally agree with all that. Like, it is, it's a multi-layered, multiverse movie. It's incredibly captivating, engaging. The action was so good. It was funny. It was warm. It's a lot of things in a movie. It's a gem, basically.
It's a gem. Yeah. And maybe, like, you know, we can just say spoilers now, but I think the one scene that really stuck with me, and I've like talked to people at work about this, is when the daughter early on is like, you know, I want you to introduce my girlfriend to grandpa, and you know, the mom won't do it. The mom's like, grandpa's not ready, you know, and you feel that tiny sense of shame that her daughter didn't turn out the way maybe she hoped for. So the daughter's crying and she's like, you know, leaving and in the car, and then the mom comes out and she's guilty, like she knows she hurt her daughter's feelings and she knows she should say sorry, but she just can't, like she physically cannot say the word I'm sorry or admit guilt. So the best thing that she can say is, eat healthier, you're getting fat. I was just like,
classic.
I think a lot of people would have watched it and just be like, God, I've lived that.
Yeah, I've lived that. And unfortunately, am like that.
Yeah, it was just sort of like, well, classic. And then, you know, I think the romance story as well is so strong between the mom and her husband.
Waymond.
Waymond, that sweetie pie who, you know, at the end says, like, my power is kindness. And in another universe, when they're both rich and she's sort of like, well, we would have been better off without each other. Otherwise, we'd end up in a laundromat doing taxes. And he says, that would have been an honor to do laundry and taxes with you. And I'm just like, oh, Waymond. Oh, she didn't know.
Waymond. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I love that she had to travel through the multiverse to appreciate what she had.
Just a casual trip through the multiverse. That's what we need.
It's almost like a sliding doors moment in a way, like, you know, living alternative realities to understand and appreciate what you have.
Wow. Is that a theme in this movie?
Interesting.
Interesting. But yeah, and yeah, I think just the storyline, yeah, so good. The plot was so good. The way they depicted themes like depression and trauma, just so strong and meaningful. I love this movie.
It was really good. Definitely understand why people would watch it more than once.
Yeah.
For sure.
So everyone go watch Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's a directive. No ifs, ands, or buts.
And I guess to quickly pivot to something else that we watched, Sneakerella.
You also have to watch this.
It's not of the same caliber. I feel like we maybe should have started with Cinderella first.
You know what? We're dynamic. We're full of multitudes. We can't just pin us down. We watch everything.
And this is the hardest thing to... Okay, so when people ask me like what my favorite TV show is or like what my favorite genre is and things like that, I'm like, I really can't tell you because I literally watch everything.
You can't pin me down.
Yeah, I'm just a multi-dimensional, multifaceted woman.
Yeah, we're complex.
We watch dumb reality TV shows and then we watch like complex multiverse artsy movies.
Ooh, I love it.
Marvel, and we also watch Disney, even though that technically is the same thing, I guess.
We watch Marvel, we watch Greta Gerwig, you know, we watched Frances Ha. It's black and white.
We're highbrow and lowbrow at the same time.
Yeah. Everywhere. We're everything everywhere. All at once. Yeah,
thank you.
That's a problem.
Well done. Clap for that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Hey, Cinderella, I don't know why we've been talking about this for so long.
Banging about this movie.
A banger of a movie.
You know what? No one else has been I haven't seen it being promoted that much or seen a lot of stuff about it on the internet. So I feel like it's really just us to being like, we're so keen for Cinderella.
We have to watch Cinderella. Cinderella. Do you think we were the only two people to watch it?
Disney's like, fuck, it didn't make much money, did it? One Disney Plus subscription.
So... yeah, again, I don't know how this came into our stratosphere, but we somehow discovered it, that it was coming onto the Disney Plus platform, and somehow we just grabbed onto it and we're like, when is Cinderella going to come out? And like for so long, it didn't have like a release date. And then, but then finally they did and they released it last week. And so we watched it. And honestly, I think I was pleasantly surprised in a way because I had very, even though we were excited for it, I did have quite low expectations, I have to say. Purely based on the name, I think.
I wonder what that's about. I wonder what it could be about.
And the only things we knew was that, yes, Sneakerella, so assume Cinderella but with sneakers, and that it was from a male point of view. So the main character was main Cinderella person, I guess, is a male. That's all we knew. And I guess it was that. It was that, but it was also quite sweet. It was actually quite fun. The songs were surprisingly good.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's sort of like, it's a very Disney Channel original movie vibe. Mm. It's sort of, you know, High School Musical-ish, where, yeah, it's a musical, the songs and dance numbers. But we're like, oh, this sounds pretty good. Like,
Yeah, I agree.
Not bad.
Yeah, the music was actually genuinely like good. Lyrics, questionable. Another thing that we pointed out was that the emphasis put on and the seriousness put on shoes in this whole movie is quite comical in a way. Like, if you think about it deeply.
Oh, yeah. If you want to like quickly recount the plot, it's that, yes, you have a Cinderella. I forgot his name already. Boy L? Cinderella. What's his name?
I think it's L.
L?
Like,
L?
Hang on. L. E-L.
E-L.
You know, like Ella?
Oh, yeah, it is L. Yeah. L and Kira. So, yeah, L is, oh my God, I get it.
Yeah.
I thought of everything. So, yeah, L is like the Cinderella. He's lives with his stepbrothers and his stepfather. They mistreat him. They make him work in a shoe store. He gets all the shifts and he has to do all the shitty jobs. But his dream is to be a sneaker designer and he loves shoes. And then one day he's like, oh, there's a competition or something where if you design the best shoe or something, you get a design contract or whatever. And he meets a girl who's like the princess or the prince in the Cinderella story. And she's like heir to this or daughter of this like really rich basketball player who's now like a shoe designer. Like, I don't know, like the boss of Adidas
or something. Yeah.
Jordans, yeah. Then she's the daughter. So then there's the romance and then he designs a sneaker, but then at the ball, he like leaves one behind and there's a fairy gardener and all this sort of stuff. So it's very easy to see the parallels with Cinderella.
Oh, so 100%.
It's not a complicated story, but maybe it's because it just sticks to it. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's not surprising anyway.
you're not trying, it's not trying to subvert the genre too much. Like, they have made it very obvious. Like, you know, you've got the stepbrothers, your quote unquote evil stepbrothers and stepfather, and Elle is a very, like, good person, like, kind hearted, someone that people are just drawn to, also very talented and has high hopes for himself, I guess, but not the means to be able to achieve those goals. I think they do try to develop that relationship with the prince/princess character, so like Kira, develop that a little bit more in this movie, so it's not just like they just meet once and then suddenly, yeah, they do bond over one day. It's quite cute, actually. I would say that romance is really, really cute.
It's cute, and they sing on the train and go to Queens. And then the reason that one of the reasons they bond as well, because he's like, you know, sneakers are the window to the soul. And he does this sort of like sneaker psychic thing where he can look at someone who's wearing their sneakers and be like, oh, they're wearing this type of shoe. And this means they like this and they do this habitually. Mm-hmm. And it's like astrology, but with shoes.
Yeah. So his Instagram handle is like sneaker psychic or something like that. Anyway, so I guess that was like my point before. Like this movie just really looks deeply into shoes where so potentially deep. It's not that deep. Like it just isn't realistically that deep. But bless him and his sneakers.
I think multiple times we turned to each other, we're like, but it's just shoes.
It's just shoes. Like I think in a way he wasn't far off the bat with some things, like, you know, there was one example where someone had like great marks on his shoes and it was like, oh, it's because she jumps in grates, and she did, like, he's not wrong.
Oh my god, it's Sherlock Holmes here. But then he was also telling, like, personality wise and she was also cute, so the girl Kira was testing out some new sneakers that a family was developing, and they were just like pink slim sort of sneakers, and then they go on bang on about, you know, what do you think of these sneakers? And he's like, you know what? They're a bit basic. I'm like,
ooh.
I mean, they're fine. Like, they're just pink sneakers.
I think the whole point of that was that there was no soul put into those shoes. And oh, sorry. that wasn't meant to be a pun.
She's so funny.
Like there was no thought put into them. So basically the whole idea was that the oldest daughter was going to design a shoe that was going to be the future of sneakers and stuff, but it was purely based on research and like monetary gain rather than someone who like truly believed in the way of sneakers. It was really hard to talk about this without like, you know, taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah, the power of sneakers.
Like the power and like the heart of the sneakers and, you know, like that kind of thing.
And then he kept saying like sneakers tell a story, like storytelling
stuff. Yeah. Like you wear the shoes and you take them on a journey and they like they're the ones who walk for you. Like it's like, is it the sneakers or is it you, you know?
Once again, these are just shoes.
However, so that competition that he does and he like creates these shoes by himself and he puts like basically the whole New York skyline into the soles of the shoes. I don't know how he did that, but to be honest, that was pretty freaking amazing. But it was just like funny because at the party, everyone's just like, ooh, look at those shoes.
They're just like, oh, who designed those? That's nothing like I've ever seen before. Oh my God. Oh, Lord, I must know his name.
It's just have to, like, view this with, don't take it too seriously. You just can't.
The other thing is, but then it makes fun of sneakerheads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so seriously, but in the movie, they're literally mocking sneakerheads to be like, oh, you're lining up for shoes, blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, they're like, hype beast, am I right? And I'm like, you guys are lining up as well. Like,
you guys are all lining up outside Foot Locker, potentially leaving your shop unattended, going to get in trouble, but you're doing the exact same thing as that hype beast.
Yeah. Yes. Also, you know, as a shoe designer, you're catering to hype beasts.
They're literally your customers.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was a strange thing, but I think it was really just, you know, trying to speak to these people just really care about shoes. As windows to the soul.
Also, the clock strikes midnight. He has to go back home or the magic will wear off. So he leaves a sneaker back at the party. So Kira is trying to find this guy. Mm-hmm. And she's been to Queens with him. She knows where he hangs out. She knows the people he knows. So really, she had to find him. She could have just jumped on the train and been like, go to a restaurant and be like, hey, do you remember that guy I came here with? Where can I find him? Instead, she launched a massive Instagram campaign, find my prince or something.
Yeah, it's like a full-on campaign as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, girl, you didn't have to work that hard.
Yeah, but she, you know what? She's just a hard worker, okay? She puts in 100% of the effort 100% of the time. There is no such thing as low effort here.
She's literally on, like, New York City billboards, on the media, on Instagram, Twitter. Yeah.
The other thing is, like, I think he went to – specifically they went to Queens, but also, like, a part of Queens, not even just, like, the whole of Queens. Like, it's a smaller area. So, yeah, she could have just have easily have gone to – that area and asked, especially because there were people who knew who he was.
Yeah,
that's the thing. She could have just been like, hey, have you seen L? And they would have been like, yeah, he's over there.
Oh, yeah, go to that shop. Yeah. And then she would have found him and the movie would have ended, but then we wouldn't have had an epic rap battle between Kira's dad and L. So maybe it was all worth it in the end.
Yeah, I have to say though, I think the dad won. I'm sorry.
His flow was impeccable.
It was incredible. Those lyrics were great. So I think he won, but also he's got like 40 years on him. So I don't know. might be cheating a little bit. But yeah, like the songs were good. I mean, is it silly? Yes, very. Was it very heartfelt and like, you know, cute? It was also that too. So I'm kind of like, well, actually, I kind of liked it. And I wonder if, like, if that's partly like a nostalgic thing as well, like growing up watching Disney movies and like, yeah, they're dumb, but like they are fun. I wonder if like part of that is that as well. Like, this is dumb, but it was like a good time.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the music also had a very Lin-Manuel Miranda influence, I think. It incorporated rap and, like, that sort of genre.
Yeah. I think
feel like they studied Hamilton.
Yeah, like the rhyme schemes and stuff were very much, I think, reminiscent of that. Mm. The only thing I think I would probably comment on is the stepfather figure, which I think wasn't quite evil enough. Like, he seemed like he was, like, kind of, like, not bad enough but also not good enough. Like, he was just kind of in the middle. So I kind of would have liked him to be a bit more evil or just like have more dynamics. I think we don't see him enough as well to kind of build a story about like how he got there, because you don't really see him in the past when when you go through the memories of him and his mother and stuff. There aren't that many memories of him included in that, so it's kind of like, well, what does he sit in that lifestyle, like why is he quote unquote like mean now?
And then also the stepbrothers were just sort of comical and kind of plopped in, and they had their one moment where they stole the other shoe and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, their sort of motivation was odd as well, like why they wanted to go back to Jersey. It just really wasn't set up that well.
Yeah.
It was very rushed, that element of it.
Yeah. So I wonder if that could have just taken a backseat and I would have been okay with the story still. Like not having those stepbrother, stepsister, because I think there was enough barriers in this guy's life, to be honest, despite, you know, having on top of that being like having coming from a family that doesn't really like have his best interests and stuff. So I kind of want them to be like a bit more mean or I don't know, it's a bit of a strange one, but overall,
you know what, I'm sure sneakerheads will love watching this as well, because they go into that museum of like shoes and you get to see like, oh, cool shoes.
I wonder if this one, I wonder if this movie will age well. Probably not. But that's fine. It's fine. It was honestly fun.
Honestly, it's like a very sort of, you know, for kids sort of sanitized Disneyfication sort of diversity is great and, you know, let's celebrate. Wow. And, you know, that sort of theme as well. So we'll see how it lands.
Yeah. I think it had that cool factor and like, you know, it's about cool sneakers, you know.
Yeah. Sneakers and are so cool.
Yeah, and like the wardrobe, Kira's wardrobe was very good.
Oh, she was
very
so
fresh.
Cute.
She looks so cute.
The makeup was so cute.
Oh my goodness, she's so cute. No wonder he likes her. My only question was, how old are they actually? Because she looks like she's 15. Yeah, they don't go to school, but they look like they're 15.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, is it the school holidays? Like, you guys, what are you guys doing? Why are you working full time when you're 15? I've got many questions.
Yes, but something I would watch again.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, just have on the background. Like, it's colorful, it's fun, the songs are catchy.
Very vibrant.
Like, yeah.
Mm. Agreed.
Yeah. What do your sneakers say about you, Alice?
They say that I'm a basic, you know. you know what kind of sneakers I go for.
What sneakers? They don't tell a story?
Yeah, I guess they all tell a story, but they all look the same, so I don't know. There's no diversity here.
In your white sneakers.
Yeah, my multitude of white sneakers say that she's, you know what, she doesn't go out of a comfort zone, which I guess does speak to me.
That's what he would have said about you if he saw you, the sneaker psychic.
I think so. What do your sneakers say about you?
Honestly, probably the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know what? I was like, I'm like this close. My fingers are very close for people listening to buying the Converse Runstar hikes.
In the black color?
In the black color.
Yeah.
But maybe if I was wearing them, they'd be like, oh, she's sporty.
I don't think so. I don't think sporty is potentially the right word.
She loves stray kids.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would pick. Like if I saw a girl wearing black Converse high tops, the what are they called? The hiking ones.
Yeah.
I'm like, she definitely likes K-pop. that would be my first impression.
But that's not wrong. So it is telling my story.
Yeah. You're right. Maybe your shoes do tell a lot about what you like. Yeah.
Yeah. My soul and my story.
Mm. She likes stray kids.
And you know what? I do.
Mm. It's an interesting commentary.
I'm so vulnerable like that. I'm just like letting people see my interests. Oh, but yes, Sneakerella. You know what? It was better than the Amazon Prime Cinderella.
Oh,
it didn't have Camila Cabello.
100%. It didn't have James Corden. It's, it's already one-upping.
A million percent.
Yeah.
Did you see that James Corden is leaving America or something, or leaving the Tonight, whatever?
He's leaving America. That was a big statement.
He's at least leaving the show that he does, a late night show.
It's ending.
I mean, where would he go? I'm sure he'd just go back home to the UK.
Doesn't he have a family?
He can take them. It's fine.
It's true, but I don't know if he would leave America. See, it's like there's a lot of opportunities for him there.
Just go home. You're not wanted here. No, okay. He's late show, whatever is ending.
Well, maybe he is leaving, but I don't think that's the purpose. But yeah, Cinderella would recommend personally. It's one of those ones where I'm like, I'm hesitant to recommend it to everyone because I think it's a very niche group of people who would actually enjoy it the way that we have enjoyed it, which is, you know, it was just stupid fun. But I know some people can't get past the stupid. Which is shame on you.
Embrace the stupid.
Just embrace it.
Why do you have to be thinking so much all the time?
You have to be such an adult. Just take your mind back 10 years and you'll love it.
Just regress a bit. Have no thoughts in your brain and you'll enjoy life a little bit more sometimes.
It doesn't all have to be, you know, 100. Sometimes it can be at 50.
Maybe even less, you know? Maybe less. Cruisy. I think that's a perfect segue into our next movie, which was also quite cruisy, but and about two friends who maybe are at 50%
or below.
And the movie is Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Yes, which isn't a new movie.
No, I think it came out 1997, where we were 5 years old, the ripe old age.
And you hadn't watched this movie before, had you?
It was my first time.
I don't remember when I watched this movie, to be quite honest.
Or if I had, it was like, I just don't remember it. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember watching it, but I remember, I mean, I don't remember when I watched it, but I remember that I did enjoy it. And I sort of was wondering, like, you know, in the years that have passed, would I still enjoy it? And the answer is yes. I mean, obviously, with any movie that comes out in 1997, it is a comedy. There are problematic parts to it, which we can discuss. But overall, the dynamic, the absolute ridiculousness of this movie, like something, do they still make comedies like this anymore? Like, I think it's just like, it's just so of its time. I think anything made in the 90s is just like an element of ridiculousness that they can just like get away with. Like that was just like the style, I guess. And in particular, I'm not to skip ahead, but referring to the prom scene where there's like this whole dream sequence.
Yes.
That, they just don't make movies like that anymore.
Adventurous like that anymore.
Yeah, they're just like, you know, everything's too realsies and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So it's actually the 25th anniversary of this movie this year, 25 years.
Happy birthday, Romy and Michelle.
And then, you know, like as much as we say, like they don't make movies like this anymore. Mm-hmm. I was reading today, it actually took a lot of time to make this movie and it went through a lot of drama, a lot of rejections. The studio being like, nope, this is shit. The director being like, you know what? I'm going to drop out because you're annoying me. It actually started as a play first that Lisa Kudrow was in and then turned into a movie. But yeah, it was in development hell for a long time. And it seemed like the studio just like wasn't happy with it. So I think we're pretty lucky that we did get such an oddball of a movie where there's just like so many random crazy scenes that now make it what it is and why it's such a classic, I think, and why it has such a long
legacy. I would say it's a classic. Yeah.
But I think they just really struggled to get there.
Yeah. I would say it's a pretty well-loved movie. Mm. I think because it is so iconic. Like there are definitely scenes where you're like, that's Romy and Michelle. And there's just like a certain quirk, I think, to their friendship that adds to the charm of the movie as well. Like they're basically these two friends who like live together in their adult years. And I guess the fact is that they think they're the coolest people ever. They have a really strong, solid friendship. But when you look back at what they were in high school, they were clearly like not the cool kids, not the, you know, the popular ones. But they still enjoyed their time because like of how they carry themselves, I guess, and because they had each other. So I guess that's a kind of a story where now they've been invited to their high school reunion and they slowly have realized that they haven't quite made it as adults yet. And so they want to, or they believe that they haven't made it as adults yet. So they like try and put on a persona, you know, as business women, which I think is like the funniest thing. So, so they're like, okay, we just have to be business women because that means that we're adults now, right?
Yeah.
So they like put their business suits, their power suits on, put their hair up, and then they go to a diner and they're like, we're business women. And then the diner later, the waiter is just like, so what do you do? What do you guys, like, what business are you guys in? And then they're like, oh, we hadn't thought that far ahead.
So they're at the diner and they're like, can we have the businesswoman special? It's like, that doesn't exist. And it's like, what's the special that businesswomen eat? Because we're businesswomen. Like, they're like best friends and they're so sweet, but they're not like the smartest.
Yeah,
smartest tools in the shed. For
and
sure.
They, they're only at 50 and below.
But you know what? It's fine. And I think the movie's so good at showing that, you know, you don't have to figure it all out. And the people who you thought might have figured it all out, maybe they're not the happiest they are that you thought they'd be either. Like, you know, everyone's different. Everyone goes through life at their own pace.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about acknowledging that, you know, maybe you weren't the coolest, but, you know, you had a lot of fun and you enjoyed your time and developed a really strong friendship. Like, their friendship is so strong that in their yearbook portrait, they're together. While everyone else has, like, individual photos, they have one photo of the two of them together. And the person whose name came in between them had to, like, be in another position.
Yeah, like, they just had, like, such a solid friendship. And it's, like, that above everything else. Like, that above, you know, maybe they haven't figured it out, but they have each other. And that's more than other people could say about their own, like, lives and stuff, right? Yeah, everyone in their own journey of life, as they say. And, yeah, I think the high school reunion setup is such a perfect way of doing it because you're kind of like, oh, that's the pinnacle. Like, that's the moment I need to show everyone that I've achieved something in life because I don't get another opportunity and for like another 5-10 years to show people that I've made it. I am an adult. I have, you know, succeeded.
And it struck me as well that it would be particularly the case during this era where you don't really have as much social media, internet, like you're not connected as much. So it generally would be a surprise. Like you would be curious, like what happened to so-and-so? What are they doing? Whereas I guess now you know that. Like I know you had a kid.
Yeah,
like you could change your job. I already got all the updates. I don't need to see you.
Yeah, you could guess. You could find out fairly easily, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, I think for me, I was surprised by how funny the movie is. So it's so the both funny. Of them, Romy and Michelle, are so ditzy, but they play it so straight and they're so sweet that you just
love them.
You laugh. You're not frustrated how dumb they are. You're just like, you know what? This is cute. I love you for it because they're just so good-hearted and like they're just so confident in themselves. They're like, yeah, like, I don't really know how to do things, but whatever.
Yeah. I think they also realize, like, their friendship is so sweet as well. Like, you're really good at this, and then you're really good at this. So, like, they almost, like, compliment each other, and, like, the way that they recognize that, it's just so sweet. And, like, yeah, maybe they're not the smartest, but that's okay. They're having fun, and they're enjoying lives, like, doing their own thing. Like, they don't have – until, like, the high school reunion, I think they don't realize that they're not, quote-unquote, like, succeeding, right? They think they're just, like, living life, and they're having fun, they're going out, they're making their own clothes, like
living the dream, honestly.
I know, like, honestly, like, sounds pretty good, like living with your best friend, looking cute in the weekend, like what do you want?
Oh, actually, the movie starts with them watching Pretty Woman.
Yeah,
it's like, no wonder Alice likes this movie. And they're like wanting to laugh at it, but then slowly, you know, they're drawn into the movie, and they can't help but admit that it makes them feel really good when she finally gets to shop.
Yeah,
they're just like designing their own clothes. They're choreographing dances, so when they go to the clubs, they can just do their own show. Like, they're living in their own world, but in the best possible way. Like, they don't care about other people. They're just happy being friends. I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the way you'd want to live life, right? Like, by your own standards and your own, in your own way, without the influence of others and like what others perceive as being successful or being cool or good. They're just like, we've made our own path, and we're just gonna like live it this way, like despite what other people think. You know, we think we're cute, we think we're good, we think we're having fun. Like, yeah, like why wouldn't you want to live that way, right?
Yeah, I love it. And then some of the flashback scenes, through the flashback scenes, you do see, like you said, that maybe they weren't that popular, although, you know, they think they were. But there's the sweetest scene where Romy asks one of the most popular guys to dance, and he kind of ditches her. But for the whole prom, she's just waiting for him to come back because he said he'll be back. And Michelle is just there waiting with her. And at the end, noticing that he's not coming, Michelle's like, I'll dance with you. And they just like slow dance together. I was like, this is the best friendship in the world. Like, yeah, this is what we need to see.
It's just really cute, like wholesome friendship.
Yeah. But also to their old high school, like you said, it's like the longest dream sequence I've seen. It simply gets weirder and weirder, where like Michelle gets hit like auditorium, and you're just not sure. You're like, I'm pretty sure this is weird, and this surely can't be true. But then I'm like, I don't know either. Like,
yeah, like it could
be so strange. Yeah, it could be real,
honestly. And like there's like this whole sequence where like they're suddenly succeeding in everything, they're getting everything that they think that they want, which is the man, which is the riches, which is the awards at the high school reunion.
The person really is most changed for the better or something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, and then they just, like, drive off basically into the sunset and like la-di-da, the happy days. And then you realize it is a dream sequence and that's not what happened. And they like back to reality. And I think one of the other funny setups in this movie is that apart from that businesswoman diner incident, that's when they start to think, okay, we actually need to have like a proper story. So they decide that they're going to be the inventors of Post-its.
I was dying at that scene. It's like, you just say we invented Post-its. And like, you know, Lisa Kudrow is playing Michelle, and she's like, yeah, okay. Like, she's just like not really thinking about it. I'm like, surely Post-its in like existed before you graduated high school.
Like, this is a really good idea.
And then she's just like, yeah, we'll say we're in a meeting. And I was like using paper clips and we ran out. And then I was just saying to people, wouldn't it be good if they had a sticky back? And then we invented Post-its, and your uncle has a paper mill, and then he made, and you know, we're rich because we invented Post-its. And they're so, I think the comedy comes from the fact that they're so sincere.
Yeah.
And there's no sense of questioning. No one's going to believe this. Like, they just really think, oh, this is an incredible idea.
Yeah. Like, aren't we the smartest?
We got to crush this reunion in our businesswoman suits with my one cell phone. Yeah.
And then so Romy, she says that it's coming from her family, her uncle's paper mill and stuff. And then she's like, oh, Michelle, you're really good at designing, so we can just say that you decided that to make it yellow.
Yes. And then, you know, they have a little, this is their falling out, because Michelle's like, you don't take me seriously. You know, you always have to be the one to shine because you know that I'm cuter than you. And Romy's just like, you're not cuter than me. And she's like, no, I am. Everyone knows. Like, so matter of fact about it.
Oh, yeah.
So when they actually go to the reunion, like, you know, the popular girls are all pregnant and married. The main popular girl is actually married to the popular guy that stood up Michelle at the prom all those years ago. Mm. So they're just thinking, oh, they're so successful. They're married with babies. And, you know, they're trying to flex. Well, I invented Post-its. And obviously that lie falls apart because no one, absolutely no one believes that they invented Post-its. And they're so like embarrassed about it. But I guess it's them realizing, actually, it doesn't matter that we didn't invent Post-its, that we're not married with kids, like, we didn't graduate college, it's fine. Like, we're living our life and we're happy and, you know, we have a strong relationship and people who love us versus, like, the popular girls who are in unhappy marriages, like, pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they have this, like, great scene where they're like, you know what, like, screw this. And then they walk out and they come back into the high school reunion with their homemade dresses on. And this is an iconic scene. Like the shimmery dresses, the shimmery mini dresses.
I think the pink and blue fashion is the other iconic part of this movie because they are serving looks from the start to the end. And it's very reminiscent of, like, I guess, 90s, early 2000s. Mm. The fashion that we're seeing now, to be honest. Yeah,
it's really cute. Like,
it's so cute. So colorful.
Yeah, like really coordinated. So from head to toe, like hair accessories to bag to jewelry to shoes, like all the same color and stuff like that. Like, absolutely so cute. And they like totally own it as well. And it really juxtaposes, like, because I think it's a quite a like young statement. When you compare it, especially when it's a high school reunion, everyone's wearing like really like solemn, conservative clothing.
And they're just like clubbing.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
Yeah, and they're wearing like butterfly clips. Like, they just don't care. This is what they like to wear. They feel cute, so they're gonna wear it. Yeah.
Do you, boo boo?
Yeah. And then one of the nerdy guys that they went to high school with actually ends up really rich. And he always had a crush on Michelle. So he comes back and they do this amazing. Well, first he's like to Michelle, like, do you want to dance? And then she's like, yeah, I'll dance with you, but only if Rumi can dance with us as well. And then they do this incredible three-person contemporary dance number in the middle of their high school reunion. And it's insane.
It's weird how they all like kind of were in sync.
It's a crazy, it's like so odd.
It's so strange.
Is happening.
And it's also because they're like wearing these like sparkly mini dresses, as we said, like it's it's just, like I said, they don't make movies like this anymore. Like, they just kind of go with the flow. Like, this is strange, but you know what, it totally works. And then you just like lap it up, like it just kind of adds the charm, I think, a little bit.
I think I read that, like, that dance scene was specifically something the studio was like, we think this is weird and it doesn't work.
Oh, it's weird, but it does work.
It works so well. Thank God they like were stubborn about it. Like, no, this has to be in it because it's those sort of bits and like the dream sequence and all that are sort of atypical and weird and off kilter that actually make the movie what it is today.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It kind of takes it from like this is a regular like rom-com to like this is a great rom-com that's like very memorable. Yeah.
Totally. Mm. And I thought you should know the person who did the costuming was the same person who did Clueless.
Oh, of course. A genius. Only a genius could come up with those coordinations.
An absolute fashion god.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah. Her impact on this world, her legacy. Incredible.
I love it. But I'm glad you love this movie like as much as I do. My only things that I didn't like, it didn't sit well with me like watching it in 2022 where the references to like diet culture and Romy being always calling herself fat and stuff like that. And I'm like, I really don't see it. Like everyone called her like the fat girl, the chubby girl in like high school. I'm like, I really don't see it. Like they didn't even try to make her look bigger than what she was. So I was kind of like, oh, it's such a strange thing. And like, because that dialogue is so like prominent, like it doesn't just happen once, it reoccurs throughout the movie. I think sticks in my mind more than like I would like it to, and it's just like kind of a sad indication of that period of time, to be honest, where there was a lot of emphasis on diet culture and all that sort of stuff.
That really stuck out to me as well because I think exactly like you said, you know, one remark in the beginning, like, oh, we need to lose weight or you need to stop eating that or you'll get fat, you know, whatever, something like that. One is like, okay, but then I think it kept happening. It was pretty consistent throughout the movie, and that's, you know, probably something. Yeah, as you look back, you're like, well, that's a shame that that it felt so normal. Like it wasn't said in a way that was supposed to be taken negatively, I think. Like,
yeah,
this is just a funny thing. And I was like, it's not really that funny.
Yeah, it's not funny to us now,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
Upon reflection. But
yeah,
that's probably the only thing. And as you said, it's not even like insulting to anyone, but it is insulting, but it's not in the way that we, you know, like a slur or something. It's kind of like, it's just sad to hear a woman talk about herself that way, I think. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
So I was reading like Vogue released this oral history of Romy and Michelle, and just like it goes through the whole beginning of how it started as a play and how, you know, Lisa Kudrow got cast and blah, 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 everything. And they even try to make like a TV show off the back of this. But one of the things that I think were funny was they say when they talk about inventing post-its in the dream sequence, Michelle is like questioned by the popular girls, like, well, how did you invent the glue or something like that? Mm. And she sounds pretty convincing. Like she's talking about how she added polymers right. I'm like, oh, wow, she knows. Again, at this point, you don't even know it's a dream sequence. I was like, oh my God, like she's a genius. Like she knows how to make glue. So they actually interviewed the inventor of post-it notes, Art Fry. Apparently he was like, when people like find out I invented post-it notes, they always ask me about Romy and Michelle. Like he gets that a lot.
Is it true?
And he said, Lisa Kudrow's speech about the glue is complete gobbledygook. Those words have nothing to do with my formula adhesive at all.
You know what? As long as it sounded convincing, I think I would have ate it up too if someone told me that. I'd be like, wow, you're so smart.
Wow, she's so smart. Yeah. And in one of the flashback sequences where Romy is like, oh, should I ask popular guy to dance? It's prom. Mm-hmm. And then Michelle's like, well, it's prom. No one's going to say no. It's the last day of school. Mm-hmm. School's ending. Just go for it. He's not going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nerdy guy's like, do you want to dance, Michelle? And she's like, no. Which I think part of what the article talked about was that as much as they were bullies, they weren't completely nice to other people as well.
They were in there. Others.
Yeah.
They were in their own world as well.
Yeah. So very much about how high school can be hell for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's one of the points that they make that high school is like everyone made someone hurt in some way.
Yeah.
In high school. I think it was that the kind of nerdy girl who was like always in the back of the school smoking and stuff. Like she was like, well, like, I wonder if I made anyone sad in high school. And then she found that she did and she was really happy. Like she's happy she made that impact.
She wasn't the absolute lowest.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pecking order.
Yeah. It's like, I love that realization of high school. Like, you know, on poor reflection, even though maybe you had a really bad time, someone had a bad time too. Like, we were all having a bad time, realistically. Kind of makes you a bit more empathetic.
And I love how it ends with Romy and Michelle starting up their own clothing store.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cute because they do set up from the beginning that they love designing their own clothes and making their own clothes. So it just makes sense. Like, you know, they don't need to go to college and get a corporate job and become, they are businesswomen, but it doesn't have to be in like corporate suits and like, you know, updos. They can be businesswomen in the way that works for them, which is like to do a fashion store. And they looked really cute. I would buy stuff from there.
Oh, look, 100%.
No if doubt.
Anything like the dresses that they were wearing, I would 100% buy from them.
Love it. Oh, and I love the music in the movie as well. Like it starts with No Doubt, so you can't go wrong.
I think it's a nostalgic factor as well.
Yeah.
But I think that all really works. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. I think despite any like shortcomings and stuff, like I think overall the like the dynamic and the friendship between the two, like that really stood the test of time as well as just overall wackiness. I think so really wacky. Adds to its charm.
Yeah. I think the chemistry between the two leads just inches it for me. You know, ultimately, even though Michelle maybe finds a connection with that nerdy guy, or like it's ultimately about the friendship, like her relationship with Romy, like it's their love for each other, their loyalty that is really celebrated, which I love, which I think is really cute. And it actually reminded me of Barb and Star. Like that's like a modern version of this movie, don't you think?
I guess
everyone
should
watch Barb and Star. It's so cute.
I guess so. Like a female friendship led comedy.
Yeah.
But yes, really a little bit off.
Yes. A very good movie.
Yes. Another one.
Another one. It made me think though, because like they were going to their 10-year reunion and we didn't get our 10-year reunion because of
COVID.
So that wasn't that keen for it.
Yeah. I think half of me is kind of like in the mindset of Romy and Michelle being like, I don't think I've made it as an adult yet. I have nothing to share, to be honest. It's of interest. Half of me is kind of like thinking that. Yeah, but that's because, like, I don't know. I'm sure it's like fine, but it's just like in your head, you can't like help but think like, oh, I'm not as successful. I'm not as good. I don't have a baby and a family. I don't know. I don't know why that is success. So, I don't know why, but it just like feels like in like the order of life, like that's like what you need to be doing. So, have I met those goals yet? No, will I ever? We don't even know that. So I think it's just like kind of like that, whereas like if you had those things behind you, you'd have something to talk about at least.
That's true. I feel like I just don't have enough to talk about.
I think
to sustain small talk.
Yeah. Just very average person. So, you know.
They just have to look at my sneakers and then they'll know.
They'll be like, oh, it's
just basic. There's not much going on.
Then we need to go there.
Yeah. And over our dead bodies, would we be like, oh, we have a podcast?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm sorry.
But maybe we'll have a 20-year reunion. Maybe then we'll have something to say.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. 20 years. I didn't even think about it.
We're only 8 years away.
Yeah, that was, I was going to say. It's like, well, 10 years was only a couple of years ago. So 20 years will be another 10 years from that. I don't think I'll have much to say. What have you been doing for the past 20 years? No clue.
I don't really know.
Absolutely no clue.
Yeah, same old. Nothing much.
Working Netflix, working.
Well, love that for us.
Are we Romeo and Michelle?
I want to live their lifestyle. You know what? I had an incredible apartment in LA near the beach, allegedly because Romy's like a customer service like person. And Michelle is unemployed. I was like, how are you paying for this? Like, teach me a way.
I mean, I don't think it's a big apartment.
Oh, true. They had one bedroom.
Like, two single beds. Like, I don't think they're living a life of luxury. But you know what? True. They're having fun. That's all that matters. I just, like, I think to me, the thing that sticks out is the freedom that comes with, like, living like that. Not necessarily because, like, they're living in a one-bedroom apartment and everything, but the freedom of, you know, just being themselves and not being afraid to express that. I want that for myself.
Yeah, and you could even see in high school, like, at prom, everyone else is wearing these flouncy pastel dresses and they're wearing, like, Madonna outfits. Like, they were never scared to be themselves and just fully embrace, like, they never had to fit the mold or follow what was happening in the crowd, yeah.
Agreed. I love that for them.
What do they say? They're like, are you Mary or the Rhoda or the Rhonda or something? That's what their fight is about. But I didn't get the reference because I think it's a show that was like before our time.
Or a movie or something. I was assuming something in like a, I don't know, like a Thelma and Louise-esque kind of thing. But yes, good one. Next week.
What are we watching?
A Perfect Pairing.
Yes, please.
With Victoria Justice, who has returned to our screens.
So this is about a lovely lady who goes to Australia to work at a vineyard or something, winery.
So the description on Netflix is, she's ambitious, he's mysterious. On an Australian farm, an LA wine exec and a rugged local set off sparks among breathtaking vistas and fluffy sheep. I think we love it already.
Haven't we seen that Aussie guy before? I feel like he's in all the new rom-coms where they're like, just chuck in Australian guy for the accent.
Adam Demos.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Falling in Love.
Yes, that's right.
The Christina Milian, where they're in New Zealand in an inn. Mm-hmm. So now he's in Australia on a farm. But it's the same, like, you know, fish out of water, like a very American girl, very American city girl goes to an Australian rural area and being like, oh, my God, where's the whatever?
Why is the toilet outside and blah, blah, blah? I can't get Sephora here. And they're like, this is Australia, mate. We ain't got that down here. We love it in the bush, mate. Like, that's
Fish and chips. Fish and chips. That's New Zealand, sorry. Because all Australians talk like that. Including us.
Fun facts about Adam Demos. Mm-hmm. Is it Demos? Yeah. He's from Wollongong.
Oh, from the Gong.
From the Gong. He worked first in construction at his father's demolition business. And then he enrolled in acting class when he was 23, but he had to keep it a secret because he was worried his friends would make fun of him.
Oh, Adam.
Adam, look at you now.
He's made it. He's made it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He's from the Gong.
And look at him now.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, his friends are probably like, oh.
They're probably really proud of him.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, my friends on Netflix. They probably still take the piss out of him, to be honest. You know, whenever he comes home to the Gong, they're like, oh.
Oh, look, it's Hollywood star Adam.
Yeah. 100%. He was also in Sex Life, the Netflix series.
I love that for him. Success.
So I'm on his Wikipedia page and it says, yeah, he was on Sex Life. And to prepare for the scene where he sings Heartbeats, he took singing and guitar lessons. And his full frontal nude scene in episode 3 of the series went viral on social media platforms. That is on his Wikipedia page. So looks like that. Adam has really made it.
I love this part of his body.
Oh, and he's in a relationship with his co-star from that TV show. I guess the chemistry was real. I haven't actually watched that show, but the chemistry is real, and I love that.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either. But, well, yeah, love that for him.
Yeah, love that. Good for you, Adam.
Good for you.
With Victoria Justice. Perfect pairing because I guess they're on a wine vineyard.
I was going to say a wine farm, but I'm like, oh. You know, where they milk the grapes. For wine.
So yeah, Alice can clearly tell us her deep, profound knowledge of wine during this episode. Excited. And maybe we'll talk about Bling Empire because yeah. I have been watching season 2. Alice has finished it.
Keen to hear thoughts. I really want to discuss it because I feel like I have a few. I'll save it for next week.
Ooh. What just going to say? Cool. Okay. I will finish it. Yeah.
It's not hard to watch.
So, yeah, any parting words, Alice, to our dear listeners?
Nah. Nah.
Nah.
Yeah, nah.
Not much to say. We're just larrikins. It's easy going here.
Can you imagine if we actually spoke like that?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I guess it wouldn't be that weird if we grew up, like, around that, but we... Yeah, don't they say there's, like... multiple Australian accents, like you've got like the
more rural or like I don't know.
Yeah,
no, but we're annoying latte drinking city folk.
There's a broad, general, and the cultivated.
Are we cultivated? God, me, little old me.
We're a city gal. That's why. Yeah. So the general Australian accent is, I guess, what you would see on TV typically, which is like Hugh Jackman, Ian Thorpe, Eric Bana. Mm. And the cultivated is like...
like Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett, Jeffrey Rush, and Malcolm Fraser. Okay.
Is that more like slightly more British-ish a bit? Like leans more to that?
I'm not 100% sure, but it has previously been associated with a higher class or educated people. The general accent, so in the middle of like the cultivated and like the broad, where it's like quiet, like you've got that. I don't know. I don't know how to describe language, but yeah, like basically Hugh Jackman, where it's like very obviously like Aussie, but not to the point where it's like, you know, using slang that you wouldn't understand.
G'day, mate.
Yeah, like something like that. And I think that's like what throws people off sometimes, like when you hear. Like, for example, if we were to go overseas, it's not, like, immediately obvious sometimes that it's Australian. Like that.
Yeah, some people can't tell.
Yeah. Like, they think it's, like, British, but it's, like, it's not really as well.
Mm.
But it is Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
Lamingtons, that wine.
Did you see our Prime Minister tackling a little kid?
What?
You haven't, oh, goodness me. Let me, it is so funny. Our esteemed Prime Minister, hopefully former Prime Minister soon, pending Saturday, tackled a lot. Well, he was like playing soccer or something with some school kids and he accidentally bowled over to some kids.
Oh my goodness.
It's
just funny because it's him.
Yeah, of course. And obviously the internet memed it, like, duh. Are you watching it?
Wrong sport, mate. Is this soccer, not rugby? Oh god, oh my god. I'm like looking at some of the replies. The one where it says, oh my god, he's killed Kenny. Kenny. He's killed me. Hearing ScoMo tell that kid to use his super to pay for the spinal surgery.
My favorite one was, trans people are a threat to children's sport, claims man who decked child in non-contact sport.
Oh, lordy.
Sorry.
Funny because he's a joke. Anyway, not to get political. Meme is a meme.
Anyway. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll chat to you next week.
Yeah, next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.